Welcome to another edition of the Australian DX Report. This is Bob Padgett in Melbourne, Australia, bringing to you our latest roundup of news concerning shortwave broadcasting stations around the world. We include information concerning propagation reports, monitoring information, solar activity news, schedule information, and other items of interest to shortwave monitoring enthusiasts. A reminder that all times we give in these programs are in UTC, also known as GMT, and all frequencies are in kilohertz. Information from the Ionospheric Prediction Service in Sydney, New South Wales, here in Australia, indicates that solar activity continues to remain at an extremely low level. The 10.7 centimetre solar radio flux has dropped to 68, that's 6.8, and the daily smooth equivalent sunspot number has dropped to 2, and on some days it has been as low as 0, meaning no sunspots at all observed on the face of the sun on that day. Now we're moving through solar cycle number 24, which is not expected to change to 25 until some 12 months from now. So the present period of low solar activity looks like it's going to continue for several more months, and it means in the meantime high frequency propagation on frequencies above about 12 megahertz on darkness or semi-darkness paths will not be very reliable. But frequencies below 12 megahertz on darkness paths will be somewhat more satisfactory. Here's a summary I made recently between 1930 and 2000. That's the Melbourne sunrise period in the 49, 41 and 31 metre bands. Quite good reception for propagation from Europe via darkness or short path transmission paths, and also from Africa, Europe and Asia. Africa, the Middle East and Asia. 5930, Germany. Mobile voice broadcasting station from the Nauen relay broadcasting facility in English. Same station on 7425 carrying the same programming. 9485, Radio Japan NHK from the Yamato transmitting site in Japan with English from 2000. And 9515, Adventist World Radio from the Nauen relay station in Germany with French also from 2000. And Moldova, an interesting station known as the Voice of the Welt. I'm not exactly sure what that means, but it's German, and it's a religious broadcasting station transmitting from the relay facility at Chisinau, broadcasting in the Kurdish language. 9580, USA, WRMI. That's actually long path reception in English. The next frequency, 9585, China Radio International from the Kashi transmitting station in Serbian. That's from 2000. 9590, the Marianas Radio Free Asia from the relay station there in Chinese from 2000. And 9610, Radio Romania International in Spanish. 9660, the Vatican Radio from the Santa Maria de Galleria transmitting station in English from 2000. And another frequency for China Radio International, 9695 from the Kunming station in French from 2000. And the Vatican Radio, another frequency, 9700 from Santa Maria de Galleria, carrying Latin Mass from signing on this channel at 1940. And 9715, Bulba Voice Broadcasting Station, this time from the Moosburn Relay Facility in Austria, transmitting in English. And 9770, Adventist World Radio, also from the Moosburn Facility
from 2000 broadcasting in the Diula language to Africa. And 9025, a religious broadcaster, the actual name of the station is not known, broadcasting in Hausa via the Issedan relay station in France from 2000. And 9850, Adventist World Radio, from the Issedan relay in France, broadcasting to Africa in the Igbo language. So, lots of relay facilities being used there for broadcasters, and that trend is likely will be continued in the months ahead. And it was a summary of frequency occupancies noted between 1930 and 2000 here in Melbourne around our local sunrise. The European Broadcasting Union Digital Radio Summit recently took place in Switzerland. This report has come in from new sources, particularly from the radio technology magazine known as Radio. And I'd like to quote from it now. More than 120 delegates attended the recent Digital Radio Summit, part of the annual EBU's Digital Radio Week, to hear from EBU members and others about the present and the future in radio technology and innovation. The readers in America have perhaps wondered just why we cover European radio so much. It's because broadcasters there are in many ways ahead of us, that's in America, and we can learn something about what will happen in North America by seeing what happens there. The primary theme running through the summit this year was user experience, including automotive and voice control. Questions that kept coming up included, how can radio compete with the user experience offered by other audio services? What can radio do to go even further? And how can broadcasters actually drive change rather than be swept away by it? Are we asking the same questions enough in the USA? The good news is that US broadcasters were in attendance and spoke to the assembly. We said that broadcasters were currently fragmented but trying to work with global companies and are coming together and using scale to leverage change to be the winning tactic. We also pointed out that something as simple as using the same words on a global scale would help to drive this change. It was reminded attendees that in times of crisis, people continue to turn to radio as their primary source of information, as witnessed during tragic events such as Hurricane Harvey in the US or the Tokyo earthquake in Japan. It was this reliability of broadcast over mobile networks that drove the National Association of Broadcasters push to get broadcast receivers in mobile phones, according to a recent report. It said that radio remains of vital importance in cars and accounts for a huge proportion of listening hours through the world. The experience of radio in cars is evolving, though. One speaker called these changes table stakes that radio must offer to keep its prominence in the dashboard. Presentations from companies illustrated that graphical branding and information about what is on air enriches the radio user experience, and Audi issued a call to action for broadcasters to provide logos, content and metadata to feed their increasingly sophisticated and capable in-car media services. So that's the summary of the Digital Radio Summit hosted by the European Broadcasting Unit, which was held in Geneva recently, and that report was taken from the radio magazine, the Radio Technology Leader, published in the USA. A note now about the 22-metre band. This band is primarily used for daytime transmissions over shorter distances or for nighttime programming over longer distances. The band officially uses spectrum from 13570 to 13870 on a worldwide exclusive basis for the broadcasting service. That's for conventional double sideband AM mode A3 modulation on carrier frequencies from 13575 to 13865. Broadcasters are not authorised to use transmitters with carrier frequencies on 13570 or 13870, as the upper and lower sidebands extend to 13570 and 13870, which are protected zones. Spectrum adjacent to this band is allocated to non-broadcasting services. Analysis of this band here in Melbourne recently showed a number of stations audible across the time span 0400 to 0430, and they included the following: 13570 China Radio International from Xi'an in English, and also on 13590 from Beijing in English; 13600 Radio Oman with programs in Arabic; Madagascar NHK Radio Japan via the Talata relay station on 13720 with Korean programming signing on at 0445. 13740, another China Radio International frequency from Kashi in the Hakka language. And 13840, the BBC from the Dubai relay in the UAE in Somali. And 13860, the same relay but using Radio Azadi programming in Pashto. And 13695, All India Radio in the Gujarati language. And finally, 13760, North Korea, the Voice of Korea, broadcasting in Spanish. So, interesting reception here in Melbourne during our afternoon period, early afternoon period on the 22 metre band.
That's all the information in our program this time. We hope you found the broadcast interesting and helpful for your shortwave radio monitoring. We'll be right back.